Peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. My next guest is going to be talking about ISIS, and he's going to be talking about these armed individuals, one in particular who is stalking and terrorizing innocent Muslim women in front of a mosque that he goes to worship God alone. That's it. And we're going to be talking about a terrorist attack, many of them that are just going under the radar. They're not even really being even reported as much as ISIS is, and how the mainstream media is actually recruiting for ISIS. All this and more here on The Dean Show with my next guest. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is The Dean Show. This is The Dean Show.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Kamal Meeks. Assalam. How are you?
How are you? Alhamdulillah. Thank God. Good, good, good. How long has it been since? Well, we've seen each other here and there, but when we had that program at the Irvine
Masjid, it was the last time you were in Dallas, a couple of years ago, probably.
Now, you go there to worship, like people, you know, they go to a house of worship to worship, but many people, they don't come there to find a surprise at their churches, synagogues with people AK-47s. I mean, is that where you're finding now when you go to the Irvine Mosque?
Well, Irvine was protested by some anti-Muslim, extremist, I would say, that decided they'd have an armed protest outside of the Irving Masjid, but nothing happened, and the police were there, so it was pretty much a non-event, even though that people had to think about it and prepare for it.
There's a picture right now people are seeing that went viral. You got the guy who's holding the, what is it, M16, and he's stalking this Muslim woman who's actually representing the mother of Jesus, Mary, wearing the hijab. Have you seen this picture?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
I haven't.
So people are seeing it right now. He's like actually right behind her, and he's got a mask on with the M16. That's really scary, man.
No, people are all worked up. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of ignorance. There's a lot of anxiety, and it's directed at the Muslim community. So this is something that we have to be aware of and try to work through.
Paris attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the people who, at the end, suffer the most, I mean, when we hear this, I mean, we pray that it's not a Muslim. You know, it's sad. Anytime.
Well, thank God it wasn't a Muslim who did the Paris attacks. It was ISIS. And ISIS is as un-Islamic as, I mean, they're hostile to Islam. Everything about them is un-Islamic. There is not one thing that I've heard or seen or read or understood about this organization that has an ounce of Islam in it. So, alhamdulillah, it was not a Muslim who did anything in Paris. But my heart goes out to those who are the victims of this injustice and of this atrocity, and for anyone who suffers at the hands of either ignorant people or zealot people or whoever's acting, putting a label on something and pretending to do something in the name of something that they have nothing to do with.
I usually make this example, you know, when I talk to our brothers in humanity, and it's sad that most people, they end up believing everything that they're fed from the mainstream media. But it would be as though, like, KKK was shown to them all day and night, and as if that we were smart enough to know that that doesn't represent Christianity. And same this
would be the same thing as if Hitler said, "I'm a Christian," and, you know, he invited you over for a bake sale.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is absurdity, and I know that it's confusing because people only know what they hear or only what they see, and you have an organization that is making a lot of claims in the name of religion and doing atrocious acts of beheading and violence and just absurd, hostile events and pretending to be in the name of Islam. But I can assure you there's not one Muslim that I'm aware of, and my entire life is spent in the mosque, traveling the U.S., every single day, visiting another community, and all I've seen is 2,000 mosques condemn the organization, 2,000 imams say they have nothing to do with the religion of Islam, every major organization, every out of 7-8 million Muslims in America, I haven't heard one person support anything about ISIS. So this phenomenon that we're all up in arms about and that is a real tragedy, I can't explain it, but it has nothing to do with my religion. Not in my name is this happening. Not in your name is this happening. Not in any Muslim's name that I know of in this country is this happening. So, but the people that don't know the faith are not exposed to their Muslim neighbors, people that aren't frequent in a mosque, or they don't know what's happening in the Muslim community, would have no idea. So they would have to judge by what they see. And if what they're seeing is someone or some organization making all these heinous claims and acts, it's beyond apologetics. It's as simple as there is nothing that this organization has to do with the religion other than claiming they're doing it in the name of Islam.
I've also, it's a fact that they're actually killing more Muslims.
Everywhere you go, ISIS is killing more Muslims than anybody. Even we'll just leave it that way. That this organization is hostile to Islam and every aspect of the Muslim community and to our faith and to our teachings and to our representation. There is nothing in this religion that would ever encourage beheadings or suicides or mass destruction of people or buildings or populations or innocents. Nothing to do with my religion. Nothing.
So you have all the mainstream organizations have condemned this. You have Muslims worldwide who have condemned this. Why do you think the media just continues to give them the voice and the platform and kind of makes it like they represent?
I don't know, but to me it seems like the media is recruiting for ISIS. And I turn on the TV, and as much as I hate ISIS, all I hear is how effective and how smart and how big and how strong and how powerful this organization is, and we need to be afraid, and we need to be afraid. And I'm thinking, of what? I mean, you've got 8 billion Muslims, or one, I don't know how many Muslims in the world today, but 1.5-2 billion Muslims in the world today who, other than the few that call themselves this organization, are condemning it right and left, telling them it has nothing to do with my faith. It doesn't have anything to do with the history of Islam. So we're at our wit's end as to how to move forward. Yet, in my opinion, the media, either through ignorance or through sensationalism or for whatever motivation they have actually, you know, hyped it to a point where it's beyond relevant. It is absolutely consuming the thoughts and the hearts and minds of people all over the world. And I'm not here to ever condone what ISIS is doing. But the media is making it worse by giving them a platform, a stage, a presence, credibility in every way, by telling us to be afraid, telling us that it could happen to anybody, and all Muslims are suspect, and every mosque is a threat, and every human, you know, everybody that professes to be a Muslim is a potential threat because of their belief, is just inciting people to act upon the fear without justification.
We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back with more. We want to talk about kind of the double standard, because we had some many recent domestic terrorist attacks that have happened. We'll talk about those and registering Muslims, Donald Trump's whole new, you know, agenda, all that and more here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Has nothing to do with my prophet. Please just stop it. It doesn't make any sense. That's not the message he sent. That's not what he meant. That's not why he came. So you can claim as much as you want to, but I assure you the man I follow was not the same. See, I know a man who forbade the cutting down of a plant, who even spoke against those who had burnt an ant. So why is it that I simply can't understand how we claim to follow the same man? I mean, I know a man who forbade us from harming the innocent, saying he who does so would not only be prohibited from paradise, but he would not even smell its scent. So please tell me how what you're doing has anything to do with the message that he sent. This is the man who forbade us from even scaring cattle with a knife, saying you have no right to let the animal die twice. And when he was asked for advice, he'd reply, don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry, repeating it thrice.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. So where we left out, we're talking about ISIS. ISIS is just Daesh. That's their new, this is actually the proper name. Have you heard this?
Yeah, I mean, the proper name is satanic.
Satanic, demonic, satanic. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, often tell people, he actually prophesies of this kind of group like this actually coming. You know about this
Yeah, he said there would be people that come. You know, every religion has talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, this is our wolf in sheep's clothing, or without the sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
So it's just pretty blatant what it is.
But someone says, look, but they're screaming Allahu Akbar, you know, before they kill people. You know, this is Islam. What do you say, you know? Because they're screaming this chant.
Yeah. They can pretend all they want that they can say Arabic words, they can say Arabic phrases, they can say Muslim words and even quote parts of the Quran, but nothing that this organization has done, has said, or I'm aware of has anything to do with my religion. And I consider myself a fundamentalist Muslim in every sense of the word. And I would never hurt another human being for any reason, for any unjust cause. I wouldn't ever do any of the acts that this group has perpetrated in the name of religion. And it's a king with no clothes. It can say whatever it wants. Mm-hmm. I could pretend to be a Christian, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Jewish, an atheist, and do, you know, anything I wanted, and just pretend that I'm doing it in the name of something doesn't mean that gives any credibility to, you know, your actions speak louder than your words.
People sometimes get spooked out when you say, they've heard you say fundamentalist, but if you're a doctor, you follow the fundamentals of medicine.
Of course.
Engineering, fundamentals of engineering, Christianity, fundamentals, you're following the fundamentals of Islam, the ABCs. I mean,
you know, I'm a fundamentalist Muslim in that I believe that there's no compulsion in religion. I believe that God has sent guidance to mankind and says that, you know, there's God, there's heaven, there's hell, there's a day of judgment. Live your life accordingly. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Act as if you're in the presence of God at all time. And be fair, be just, be noble, be steadfast. Do everything that you can to be a better person, a better human being, and be helpful to others. And this is the essence of all religious traditions, and especially Islam.
Now, what do you think? I mean, we condemn this, obviously. This has nothing to do with Islam, obviously. But now when other people, they look and they say, what about the rest of humanity coming out? If we condemn one, shouldn't we condemn all? We have innocent people dying, children. I mean, hundreds of thousands have died in Syria, in Palestine. And what is your take on this?
Well, I think that we should be screaming from rooftops about every unjust and unethical act performed by anybody. So what is happening to the Palestinians, what's happening in Syria, what's happening in Bangladesh, what's happening in Egypt, what's happening in almost every or many countries all over the world today, is just full of injustice, full of oppression, full of just you name it, atrocities. And every one of those human beings that are being affected should have our concern, should have our heart, should have our prayers, should be somebody that we try to help. Mm-hmm. So my heart is for every one of the Syrians and every one of the Palestinians and all of the Jewish people or anybody that's being hurt innocently for doing nothing and being a victim of others' aggression injustice.
Tell us, what do you, when you see, and it's kind of disheartening, what's your take on this when you, when just today you have, this week in the news, you had a gunman, he went in and killed a few people, wounded 11, almost a dozen. And, you know, it's interesting, gunman, suspect, every other name, but what it is, he committed terrorism, right? Mm-hmm. What is your take on this?
Well, it's an obvious double standard, but again, I would condemn that individual as much as I would ISIS or anybody else. I think today the media has decided that only Muslims can be terrorists. So if anybody does anything equivalent to something that is being called terrorism, they'll find another word for a non-Muslim. So it's kind of an exclusive club at the moment to be a terrorist activity. Mm-hmm. But you could definitely call what Assad is doing to his own people terrorism. You could say what is happening in Bangladesh and, you know, new parties taken over and ruthlessly killing parties that, you know, want to silence their opposition. You can call every genocide, every murder, every act of terror, terrorism. And you should, if you're going to be consistent. But I think it's more of a political term than an accurate definition at the moment.
When we come back, we're going to get your take on some more current events here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
So what is it that we still don't understand when we claim to follow Islam, yet we fail to follow this man? I mean, I know a man who was so caring and compassionate, who said that there is a reward in serving all things that are animate. In other words, everything that breathes, whether it be the animals, the trees, and every single human being. I mean, if Allah called him Rahmatan Lil Alameen, how dare you call him anything else that contravenes? See, this is a man who said that the Muslim was he who is soft, simple, and lenient. A man who taught us himself to be cautious from falling into extremism. See, he was never given two choices except he chose that which was easiest. Not for himself, but for his people and their convenience. See, I know a man who advocated for the freedom of the slaves. A man who taught us that the Muslim is the one from whom the people are safe. Not only from his hands, but even from the words that he says. See, this is a man who would never mock, mimic, nor ridicule, nor would he ever publicly rebuke an individual. This is the man I follow, so forgive me if this sounds unusual. But the man I know was so much more handsome, so beautiful.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. Now, you accepted. You came when we did our first sit down. We had a meeting. We talked about your journey to Islam. You actually came from a Baptist Christian
background. Yeah, I was an aspiring Baptist minister that converted in 1989, so 25 years ago I became Muslim.
And how's it been ever since?
Alhamdulillah, I love Islam. I love the Muslim community. I want to do anything or everything I can to help the Muslims, humanity at large. So I'm very happy to have 25 years of being a Muslim.
And that's simply one, I mean, always, you know, from doing the program, that you've just chosen to submit your will to the Creator of the heavens and earth, just like Jesus did, Moses, Abraham, they all submitted to God. That's it. And when you hear people like Donald Trump, you know, kind of they equate it to like what Hitler was going to do with the Jews, registration for Muslims. What is your take on this?
Well, I think it's insane. You know, a national ID card for Muslims is exactly repeating history, and, you know, the cries of never again seem to be short in everyone's memory. If you'll look back on the most egregious, for the lack of a better term, genocides, it all started with stigmatizing a group of people, dehumanizing them, treating them with, you know, ID cards and everybody separating them from the norm, and then people's angers, frustration, and aggression eventually are being would be taken out against that minority, and it can lead to nothing good. So it's a solution that has proven itself to be horrible and should never be repeated.
Most of these, when you had also not too long ago, the individual who went in, who committed act of terror also against innocent Muslims, he went in and killed. That was in Texas also. The three doctors, was it? A young lady and her two brothers went and shot him point blank.
Are you talking about the Muslims that got shot?
Yes.
That was in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
When he was asked, have you ever met a Muslim or anything? No, he had no idea. So can we be, I mean, this, when people experience that human connection with Muslims, you know, some people in these rural areas never met a Muslim, but how important it is for us now to really get out there, you know, to help educate, to edify the people?
Well, here's something that I think every Muslim should do, and that is let people know you're Muslim and then practice Islam to the best of your ability and let people see your manners, your etiquette, and your religion coming through you in your actions and not your words. And there have been studies on this, though. This is something that there's empirical data that are not research that has been done where hundreds, if not thousands of people have been interviewed about their thoughts on Islam and Muslims. And this was after 9/11. People were asked, okay, so what do you think about Islam? What do you think about Muslims? And they asked them many different questions. And at the end of the survey, they asked each participant the same question, and that is, rate yourself on your own knowledge of Islam and Muslims. So you could pick, I know nothing, I know a little bit, I know somewhat, or I know a lot. And you rate yourself. And you get the results of those surveys back, and the overwhelming majority of all the answers are negative. So the survey tells you that there is a non-favorable impression of Islam and Muslims. But if you take all of the surveys and you sort them by, okay, who in this pile said that they rate themselves as knowing nothing? How many of you said you know somewhat? How many you know, a little, somewhat, or a lot? And you have four piles. And you look at the ones who say they know nothing. You see the most hostile, venomous hatred towards Islam and Muslims. But if you go to the ones who say, I know a little bit about Islam and Muslims, their answers were more favorable. If they know somewhat about Islam and Muslims, this is their own definition of themselves, more favorable. And the ones who claim to know a lot about Islam and Muslims had the most favorable impression of Islam and Muslims. So what that survey tells us is the more information people have about real Islam and Muslims, the more favorable their impression becomes. So that means all of us as Muslims are put in a circle of influence in our life, our daily lives, whatever we do and however we do it, we come in contact with people. And the people are looking at us as representatives of that faith. And we need to be the best examples of what we believe in our circle of influence, and we can change the world. We can change that impression.
Before we cut out for this program, this week's program, tell us a little bit about the work that you do, you know, for people who want to get involved, help, and maybe call you out.
Alhamdulillah, I'm one of the co-founders and the current executive director of a charity called the Muslim Legal Fund of America. The Muslim Legal Fund was founded in 2001, and it is what its name proclaims. It's a charity that collects money. So all I do is go all over the U.S., and I collect money from the Muslim community. And with the money that we collect, we spend the money on lawyers. We hire attorneys to defend Muslim rights in court. So we have taken cases like the Holy Land Foundation, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, Dr. Sami Al-Arian, the Irvine 11, the six imams, hundreds of cases involving our imams, leaders, activists, organizations, or anyone who we feel is being dealt with unfairly by the legal system. And as a charity, we continue to grow, and today we've opened a nonprofit law firm where we've now, after 14 years of working with some of the best attorneys in the nation, we've actually asked a few of them to close their law firms and to work full-time at a nonprofit law firm called the Constitutional Law Center for Muslims in America. This law firm is going to be solely funded by the Muslim Legal Fund. It's grant funding to the law firm. These lawyers will work full-time for the Muslim community on immigration, civil, or criminal issues nationwide and for free. So if you like what you hear, you can donate. If you need our service, give us a call. And this is a charity that really believes that everyone is entitled to fair and equal treatment under the law. And if we don't see it happening, we think that the community should support each other in that process.
What's the website that people can contact?
You can visit the website at www.mlfa.org. Muslim Legal Fund of America, MLFA.org.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much
for being
with us. Look forward
Eddie,
to having you
appreciate
again.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Peace be with you.
God bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
And that was our special guest here with us on the Deen Show. I hope you got the benefit. I surely did. Don't believe the hype. Learn about Islam from the Muslims. Call us 1-800-662-ISLAM. Get to know Islam. You see what happened when people knew a little bit, knew somewhat of Islam, the hate started to go away. But imagine those who really immersed themselves into learning Islam sincerely, right? With the intention, the right intention, removing all those prejudices and hatred that you've been taught, because nobody's born hating. You've been taught this stuff. Remove it. Learn about Islam from the Muslim. Sit with the Muslim, because Muslim is one who just submits himself or herself entirely to the one who created us, the one created, the same creator that Jesus worshiped and called people to worship. Those are the Muslims. Get to know your fellow Muslim and you'll see many of these apprehensions you might have will quickly go away. Call us again. Subscribe if you haven't already and tune in here to the Deen Show every week for a new exciting show. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.
A man who taught kindness to the neighbors, who taught us to serve others without expecting back any favors, to spread peace to those we know and even to the strangers, to walk with humility and to simply ignore the haters. But nevertheless, I know a man who still taught us to stand up for the oppressed, from the men, women, and children who call out to us in distress. I know a man who taught us to fight for these people, but by no means does this mean we have the right to transgress. For those who oppress have nothing to do with his name. So you can say what you wish to say and continue to defame his name, but at the end of the day, I assure you, the man I follow was not the same. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.